You are about to hear a message preached at Church One on the Gold Coast. To find out more about Church One, visit us on the web at churchone.com.au. And be sure to subscribe to these podcasts so you don't miss out on any new messages as they are available.
Amen. You hear me okay? How's everyone this morning? Good? Welcome to church and welcome, where's he? Ian, Sharon, welcome to all you and the kids. How are you? Great stuff. You know, I came in this morning and everybody was rushing about trying to get everything done today. We got missions lunch today and we have our open day today for the different ministries. And I kind of sort of walked in and, you know, I had a bunch of stuff I had to do early this morning. And I got to keep reminding myself that this year is about breathe, you know, just really take time to do that. And I'm probably the worst culprit of all because I'm kind of sort of, you know, I like fast-paced kind of sort of, you know, activities. Anybody here like that? You know, so, you know, the sports that I choose and all that stuff, you know, it's all kind of sort of a little bit, you know, has some level of risk, probably not as risky as some, but, you know, I don't know if you remember, I had this big epic crash last week on the mountain bike, and I called my wife to kind of get some attention and some compassion, and on the other end of the line, I said, I had a big crash, I face planted, I got scars, I got blood all over my face, my head, and my shoulders, tore my shirt and everything, and, you know, bruised everywhere, and she started to laugh. As if to say, it's your fault. You know, and I remember, you know, heading down that mountain so fast, and instead of taking stock of what I was used to doing and the exit point and the entry point, I just went, I'm going to go fast as I could, and didn't take time to really just kind of just for a moment just to stop. And oftentimes that's what happens to us. You know, if you go too fast with anything in life, you know, you're going to suffer the consequences of that. And Kartika and Lucy, welcome back with your baby, Joanna. Is she here today? Can we give them a big, big round of applause? Great to see you. And that is an amazing testimony of the Lord, and I'll get them to share it one day. When you're ready, get you to share both what the Lord has done and just an amazing miracle of God in their lives. Amen. So, but welcome to church anyway today. I just want to share a few thoughts with you this morning rather than going into full-on preaching. I'll probably end up there anyway, as you know. But I really just want to piece together a few thoughts. Yesterday, we had our launch for our Brisbane North Church. Do we have pictures? Oh, Justine, that's awesome. Can you put some pictures up, please, while I'm talking and just loop them? I'd like to see them. Bless the Lord. They're yet somewhere. And you know, it was great. We met at the Malian Baptist College in Gaythorne. And it was just a great atmosphere for those of you that made it yesterday. Well, I was just not there yet. But it was a great day, wasn't it? And all the elders were there. And the team had been spending a lot of time talking to the community, spending time door knocking, just getting the community's attitude towards church in general. And some of them had some just amazing experiences. And they were initially apprehensive about it, because how many of you would like to go door knocking and start talking to people about God? Anybody here would like to do that? Put your hand up. I have one brave soul, and Tristan always, obviously. Anybody else here? If we had a door knocking project, how many of you would say, yes, I'm going to do this for Jesus? How many, if I gave you $1,000, would go to at least one door? Put your hand up. If I gave you $1,000, how many of you? Now, listen carefully. I'm serious about this. If I gave you $1,000, all right, let's be realistic. If I gave you $100, how many of you would go to a door and I'd knock? No, let's make it hypothetical, actually. If I could afford $500, And I gave you, say, $500 for you to knock on that door and just ask them whether or not they're interested in church, whether or not they know Jesus. How many would actually do that? How many of you don't want to put your hand up in case you're wrong? You know, there are a lot of things in our lives that motivate us to do certain things. And one of them is money, and one of them is, you know, passion for God. And my prayer is that we will do things because out of the passion that we have for Jesus, and that because we're obeying His command. So here we go. They were face painting. They had all bunch of stuff happening there yesterday. There's Trevor and Jeff having a good chin wag. So it was a great day yesterday, and the place was packed by the time we had our service. And and I was just really, really excited to see these guys just. What's that? A stick insect. So we're really seeing some great things in the north side, and it was just really exciting. It was a good time, Trevor, wasn't it? It's great, and the church looks so strong, and it just looks so so ready. And it took us about a year and a half of incubation before we actually decided that we're going to launch that church. And we're very excited. We want to give God thanks and glory for that. Oh, feeling strong, Rick. So it was a good day. Amen? Amen, amen. And this year, as part of our vision initiative which towards church planting, we are preparing, to do something in the Springwood area. So if you know families and if you got friends in that area that want to be part of a church, just let us know, and we'll make contact with them, and we'll put a small group together and start a pre-planting group in Springwood. All right, did you get the service pictures? Okay, in the service. It was a great time. Amen. And we are just, you know, working along to see what this whole thing looks like. This church planning thing. I've been asked by the Acts 2 Alliance of Churches to do a presentation on church planting. And I thought, you know, part of me said, wow, what a privilege that is. But the other part of me said, my goodness, I don't even know what I'm doing, you know. Well, to some extent, we know what we're doing. And basically what we're doing is we want the local church to be strong to reach its community. That's what the local church is about. The local church is not about building itself. We're not about building organizations. We're about building people in the saints of God to follow Jesus and to become the kind of people that God called them to be. And, I've got a bunch of thoughts in my mind throughout this week. And not that I haven't got a sermon prepared today, but I just really want to talk with you this morning as we kind of sort of recap vision and kind of sort of put everything towards the pointed edge as to where we're going as a church this year. Can I have a whiteboard, please? That would be amazing if someone could get one for me. It'll be excellent. So this year, before I do that, let me just, because I've got a piece of paper, I've got to give you some missions update for lunch today and what's happening out there. Let me just reiterate that for you. First of all, we need a $65 a month sponsorship for the orphans in Nepal, for the students in the Philippines that we are supporting. There's two of them, and two Bible school students that are being raised as pastors as well. And it's $65 per month. If you could help in any of that, please see Justine. Thank you. I've got one here already, actually. Thank you. And also, we're looking to, my mother and I have made this our personal project. Is mom here today? She is? Where is she? Yeah, she's hiding. Oh, no, she's sitting. That's why I can't see her. We kind of partnered towards this, and we're hoping to get there this year. She's been telling me, we got to get there. We got to build this thing. And my mom's pretty persuasive and pretty full on, and she goes, son, come on. I said, Mom, I don't think I can go this year. Go, no, you got to come with me. I got to go. And she said, we've got some money that we can get this building started with. And my mother especially has put on a lot of her money towards building the child care center. And we're hoping to have the drawings done when we get there and get the foundations done by the time we get back, at least get it started there. Amen? Can we give the Lord a hand for that? So if you have a heart towards that, we'll be building a church and a child care center in that community. And that would be an awesome thing if you could help at all in that area. We've got a lot of things on. And the new project initiative that you saw in that missions video also, which was part of our community initiative this year, as well as part of our vision as Church One, is first of all CAP, which is Christians Against Poverty. This is helping people in our community, not just for Christians, but it's especially suited for those who are not believers to help them overcome debt. Well, if you, as a Christian, need help in that, we can also make that available for you. But one thing we're looking for is that we're looking for people who would be advocates of CAP. Right, Jan? And we're going to be doing a seminar for that. CAP program will be. So if you're interested at all in helping those who are in financial need and being a facilitator or a tutor, right, in that area there, please see Jan about it. And we will send you to a course so that you know how to help others in that. How many of you have some interest, not necessarily want to sign up for it, but some interest in helping people who have financial needs? That's great. So if you have interest in that, please see Jan, and she'll tell you a little bit more about that. And also we have steps happening this year, which is support, teaching environment, parenting strategies. This is to help parents in our community, and perhaps we want to start with folks in our church who might want to support this program that we're, or this initiative that we're doing. It's going to be headed by Michelle, and it's about helping parents with children who have additional needs and maybe have to deal with behavioral challenges at home. Michelle is finishing her degree in social work. Is that what it is? And she's got also including counseling with that and everything else. So she'll have her full qualifications in about how many months? You're finalizing this. 18 months. So it's a great strategy and a great initiative to help people in our community. We've got people already working in the area that really want to be part of this program, which is very, very exciting. And also, headed by Blake, we're going to be running 12 baskets project, which is feeding and clothing those who are in need in our community. And we are launching that this year. We're just working out all the fine details, right, Blake, and venues and all that stuff. And we're connecting with different government groups to be able to help out in that area in our community. So we're very excited this year with regards to some of the things that God has put in our hearts. My wife and I will be heading to China and Nepal again this year. Not again, but first time for you, but twice for me. Gary Sho, who is a missionary from China, has been running the underground churches in China for the last 20 or so years. And I've had the privilege of seeing the work there in its initial stages and seeing where it is now. And I think they have something like over 100 or maybe up to 200 cell group churches in China underground that are just growing. It's quite amazing what's happening there. And we're talking about maybe over 2,000 underground Christians under the ministry that he is running. And that's really, really tremendous, isn't it? And some of you might hear news, even Christian news, that says, China is a lot more open now. And people are the government allows this openness. But I want you to understand that China is still a communist country. So the openness that they have mainly is for international churches, which means the local Chinese person cannot enter those international churches unless they had an international passport. All right? We have dealings of a Chinese married to an American that go to an open church because she's married to him, but also they still run an underground church because they know that there's still certain limitations that the government places upon those churches. Because the communist agenda is still very, very strong. It underscores every organization in China. So they allow you to have open worship and free worship and all that stuff and all the trimmings of what we might deem to be an open church. And so you can go there and you can come back here and say, well, I tell you what, I had a great time at church on Sunday in China because it was open to everybody. But what I don't tell you is the number of Christians still being arrested today because they're in the underground churches, and the government will just say to you, well, the reason they're arrested is because it's already legal, but they still choose to be underground. And so don't always listen to what other Christians' perception about the work in China. Even Vietnam is still, experiencing a lot of persecution from the government regarding Christianity as well. Amen? Amen. Now, you heard this morning that Trevor talked about in the announcement about spiritual gifts and its application in the church. I really do believe that, you know, we as charismatics, we as, you know, as a Pentecostal church in that sense, we need to really understand that the spiritual gifts that God has given us is for all. Amen. Somebody say for all. But it's not for all so that we can enjoy the gifts. Your gifts have been given for you for somebody else. It's for you to minister. It's for you to share. It's for you to help others with. That's what gifts are for. Gifts are not there for me to have a ministry. My gifts are not there for me, you know, to be known that I have a certain gift. No, my gifts are there to be of service to somebody else. I quite enjoyed Robbie's testimony a few weeks ago. He prayed for somebody, and he'll tell you he probably wouldn't accept that he's got a gift of healing or a prophecy or anything like that, but he's just a man of God in that moment ready to give what God has given him. And what that is, it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that determines the gifts. You know, there's been, you know, a lot of emphasis on certain types of giftings, you know, an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, a teacher. And, you know, this fivefold ministry has kind of messed up the church a little bit because we thought that unless we kind of fall into one of those, we kind of don't mean much to God. Or we're not going to recognize in some kind of church, you know, context. But I'm going to tell you that the recognition you have in church has nothing to do with what you do or what you think you should do because of those offices. It's because Christ lives in you and that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And that helps you on your daily life and daily walk. Whether you go to work or you go to school, you represent who Jesus is. You are the ambassador of Christ. Amen? Amen. And so, you know, if someone needs healing, you're it. If you're in a situation where the prophetic word of God needs to flow, you are it. Come on, somebody. Don't call me. If there's a demon that needs to be cast out in that moment, you are it. I'm probably busy casting somebody else's devil. Why are you doing that? You are it. Amen. Come on, somebody say that to your neighbor. You are it. Because I want the kind of church that moves into supernatural, not because we have to create a meeting that's supernatural for you, because you are a supernatural people. You know, prophecy can take on so many different forms, and some people think that prophecy is someone's got to say, thus says the Lord, and I just feel in the Lord, I got to say this to you. You know, I have prophesied to people in the most natural, normal way. Like I'm having a conversation, and all of a sudden this person would say to me, how do you know that about me? I said, I don't. God does. And sometimes you'd operate in the word of knowledge or word of wisdom. And the word of wisdom is just really simple. You say something to somebody that just blows them away, that's so natural for you, and yet it changed your life. It's incredible. That's word of wisdom. Sometimes you'll operate in discernment of spirits and not even recognize that. You just know in your spirit there's something's wrong and you got to go pray about it. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And you didn't even know you're operating in that gift in that moment. Healing and all these things are available for you. So what we want to do is that, you know, as a church who believes in the supernatural and as a church who believes that the supernatural is available for everybody, we also need to understand the context of that within our church service. If we have an evangelist like Epi Limignana that comes here and he preaches and he shares about the supernatural, obviously we have the platform where we can just receive, amen, from the evangelist. Or if we have Darren Begley, that sits in the office of a prophet and full time, and you know, you can sit and just receive prophecy and just receive, you know, just the blessing of God under that grace that God's given them. And that's wonderful. But what happens to me as a Christian, when I say as a normal Christian, as just a, you know, a Christian that comes in and out of church, that goes to work, what does that all mean to me, on a weekly basis when we haven't got those guys? Well, from time to time, when you're sitting in the pews and worship is on, I have no doubt that sometimes God will put something in your heart. And sometimes it's a little bit intimidating to kind of say, I'm just going to go tell the whole church what God's told me. Because it's difficult for two reasons. One, whatever you say, you are accountable for. Which means that if you say it and you said the wrong thing, you will open yourself for correction and criticism. Right? Okay? You've been there, Craig. All right, thank you for that. So you open yourself up to be criticized, but also you're handling God's word. So if you said something that's not true, it makes you to be a liar, and you use God to lie to people about the wrong revelation, right? You know, if I want to be really blunt about it, that's, you know, kind of borderline witchcraft kind of thing, you know, because it's false prophecy. Y'all got quiet all of a sudden, right? So, you know, how do we discern that? How do we, in humility, be able to operate in the gifts of the Spirit? You know, speaking in tongues, for example, how does that kind of sort of work, you know, collectively as a congregation? Because I do believe that that congregationally we can speak in tongues. I do believe that individually we can. I also believe that it can be a point of prophecy where people speak in their heavenly or angelic tongues, and it's then interpreted according to the Word of God, as Paul talked to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 14. Amen? So we want you to not be afraid to operate in the spiritual gifts. And as a result, as part of our ongoing, work in the ministry to improve the ministry, is that we're going to set up a class for those that want to be operating in that regard within the context of church service. Amen? And Jan's running that, right, Jan? Once. You only have one chance at this. She's doing it once. When is that happening? It's been announced, so it'll be up somewhere. Amen? Is that okay? Great. So folks, this year, let's keep each other accountable to breathe. Amen? Straight away after I preached this, I think it was on the north side, and I had to rush off to come here to the evening service. One of the guys that was new in the church, he's fairly new. He came from the Catholic background. He just started coming. And he said to me, Pastor Ted, I enjoyed the lecture today. That's what he said. And I said, great, great to see you today. I got to run. I've got to go to Helensvale and preach tonight. And he put his hand over my shoulder and said, Pastor, breathe. That's what he said to me. And so wives, make your husbands accountable. Husbands, make your wives accountable. Make your children accountable. Kids, tell your parents, come on, Mom and Dad, breathe, right? All right? I think it's really, really important that we do that. We make ourselves accountable for the vision that God has placed in us. I got to make myself accountable. And I know today, as I watched everybody rush around trying to get everything done, I had to stop by the Holy Spirit. God said to me, breathe. You know, do your best to do that. Amen. I shared with you earlier this month that we've kind of breathed new life into our structure. And instead of having a typical ladder that a lot of people have in their structural systems, we still adopt this in some sort of way in some areas of organizational keys that we have. But mainly as a ministry function, operationally, we're adopting a vision-centered, mission-centered system where the vision is central and you have people that are implementers of that vision to ensure that we're moving forward together. And really what it is, the model is that of a wheel rather than, a rake. And what that means is that, you know, every spoke matters, the relationships matter, and it's a relational thing to empower, to equip, and to engage people into God's calling. And so leadership is not about taking people to just one place. It's about serving people so that they can be who God calls them to be. And each of the coordinators, directors, whatever you want to call them for the sake of title, you know, in that will have their own wheel as well that they operate in within the groups, et cetera, et cetera. And those groups then will have their group. So the point is, if we can just encourage and empower and equip one another, can you imagine what will happen to the church? We're going to have an automatic leadership development system and mentoring system that becomes part of the culture rather than a program. Amen. So we're working towards this, and I've started that with a key leadership team, and they're moving slowly towards that in all of the areas. And so we're really excited. I'm really excited. I don't know if you're excited, but I'm really excited about that, because I really do believe that it's going to give us and prepare us for a structure that could last us, you know, over the next 5 years. And as we continue to develop that, we're going to see more souls saved, and we're going to see more people touched by the power of God and transformed by His power. Amen? And can we give the Lord a clap, please? Glory to God. Last couple of weeks, I talked to you about one particular word that pertained to God and pertained to us. What is that word? How many of you listened to my message last week? How many of you got the podcast? Right. It starts with the letter A, availability. Ah, thank you. Very good. Availability. And why is that so important? I really do believe that availability, right, is a close cousin of faithfulness. Jesus said that the last commendation you'll ever hear from the mouth of Jesus as you enter heaven would be, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I want you to understand those words when Jesus said that, because He said, "Well done," which means that faithfulness cannot take place without industry. You cannot be faithful. You cannot be a faithful pew sitter. Are you there? It doesn't exist, because you have to have been doing something well to be faithful. Because the commendation of Jesus is not, come in, good attender. You've been faithful to the church because you attended every Sunday. No. That is not the commendation when we face Jesus. It's well done. I talked about spiritual gifts. I talked about vision. I talked about initiative. Why am I doing this? Why does the leadership, why does Church One have to create programs and have an open day where you can volunteer and make yourself available to help all the different departments that are in the church? Why do we have to do that? Because I want to create the pathway where you can do well. I want a track for you where you have no excuse before God. And I have no excuse before God when God says to me, "What did you do to my church?" I say, "I gave them every opportunity to do well. Every ministry within the local church. And even, Lord, I even did it outside of the church." You see, my job as your pastor is to ensure that there's enough jars that we can collect the presence of God with. And you are the jars that is filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. But you're not called to just sit and do nothing. You're called to do something with what God has given you. And so the open day is really important. We're probably going to do it another different time next year, but or this year, or whatever. But the reality is, God wants you to be activated for His kingdom. Amen. Well done, good and faithful servant. That's a great commendation for all of us. And so I talked about availability because I believe that you can be incredibly able, but if you're not available, you're useless. You can have all the gifts, you can have all the resource, you can have all, you know, the talent. You know, you can be, I've seen people incredibly talented for years sit in the pew and watch everybody and criticize what they hear, but they themselves were not willing to put their hand to the plow. It's the most miserable Christian life you could have. You might say, I'm not incredibly gifted. And yet I've seen people not so gifted, but always doing something for the Lord. They're not great preachers. They're not great orators. They're not great singers. They're not musicians. You know, they can't tell you what how many instruments they play. Maybe they play the kazoo. I don't know. You know. And the reality is God is not as concerned about your gift. You know why? Because it came from Him. It's not even yours. But what you have that God hasn't got is your time and your availability and everything that you produce on the earth that belongs to you, God wants to be part of. You see, availability is not just with time. It's about resource. See, I could have, if I was a multimillionaire and I'm not unwilling to give anything to the poor or to the church or to a need, guess what? I'm useless. I'm like a clanging cymbal because love is not operating. You know, my wife talked about love this morning. Let me encourage you. In everything that you do, you've got to do it in love. Romans chapter 12 tells us in the midst of all the gifts that Paul says that if you've got leadership, lead diligently. If you're a giver, you know that giving is actually a gift. Did you know that? There are people that have the gift of giving, right? Normally they're wealthy. You can kind of sit on that for a minute because that's what the Bible said. Givers are wealthy because they're the ones that God can trust with His gifts, right? God gave me a gift of preaching because He probably knew He could trust me with that at some point in time, right? So, you know, if God gives you wealth, you know, He expects you to be generous about your gift. Okay? But everything that we do must be done in love. So if you do anything begrudgingly, you're actually not giving. Amen? Amen. So availability is just so incredibly important. I believe this, because the greatest opportunities in your life will not happen because of your giftedness, but because of your availability. Have you heard of the saying, being at the right place at the right time? You know what that is? It's availability. Because nobody else was there but you. Are you hearing me? When to be at the right place at the right time means you're available. That means you are ready. And I really do believe that as we make ourselves available for the things of God. Rick, can you come up, please? As we make ourselves available to be generous this year in so many ways, you know, one of the things that I have, you know, I map out our, you know, even though I live a very hurried life and rushed life in so many ways, I kind of sort of mentally map out our resources and just with our finances, for example, our finances, we have giving goals. How many of you have goals to own a home or to buy a car? How many of you had that through the years or retirement fund? You know, how many have that kind of goals, right? You have financial goals, right? And for most people that I spoke about, I don't know if it's you, a lot of people I've spoken to, a lot of them have financial goals that pertain to self-security or personal financial freedom. But very few Christians actually have giving goals. You know what giving goals are? Giving goals are very, very clear. My wife and I have giving goals. We know what our tithes and are. We know how much money we give a year on certain aspects for, say, when we have visiting ministry. We know that we've got our first fruit goal We've got our building fund goal. We've got our mission work goal. We have these goals that we do for giving every time, because and as I counted and I looked at, I was just doing it. I won't tell you what they are. I was doing all these percentages this morning with regards to what we release, and I just put my hand up. I said, how did we survive? But if I was to recount to you exactly what the Lord has done over the years as we follow these giving goals, it'll blow you away. It's impossible. It's actually impossible. It's an impossibility. Don't know how it's happened, but it's an impossibility. Because my salary and my money has to be first and foremost seen through the kingdom of God. Not through, if the Lord said that the righteous, the children of the righteous will never go begging, then why do I have to worry about feeding my children? And so we work through this every, you know, my wife and I, you know, my wife especially, she's big on budgets. And so she tells me, I want to see the budget. I want to see the budget. I say, I want to get this. And she says, I want to see the budget. I want to buy this. I want to see the budget. I said, can I get a new bike? I want to see the budget, you know. She's great like that. And I get a little bit upset about that. But you know, and we go through it and we work through our finance and our resource, because finance is really important for you and for me. Money is a very important aspect of your life, right? And maybe I should talk more about this, you know, because the three most important aspects of your family life is money, communication, and sex. We should talk more about those three things this year. What do you think? How many would like to talk more about money this year? No? How many would like to talk more about communication this year? How many would like to talk more about sex this year? What's that, Trevor? I was at a pastor's meeting, and one of the key leaders in our Kevin Connor. You know Kevin Connor? Your mom's old pastor. He's retired now. He's in his 90s, I think he is. He established one of the biggest churches in Australia, Kevin Connor. How many of you know Kevin Connor? You guys know Kevin Connor. One of my friends asked Kevin Connor when he was a youth pastor about 20 years ago, and he said to Kevin, Kevin, what would you do if you were to re-preach your life again? If you were to preach on one subject matter, what subject matter would you preach the most on? And Kevin Connor, without any hesitation, says to my friend, I would preach more on sex. That's what he said. It's incredible, isn't it? But the reality is, our generation today are oversexed. More people are into pornography than you can imagine. Right? Pastors, leaders, young people, men and women. It makes everybody uncomfortable you say that word in church, because you're not... people don't want to know, because those kind of things are in secret. But the reality is, sex or degenerative sex is infiltrating the minds of our society more than ever. Young people today sleep around before marriage because they think it's normal. Christian young people, it is not normal in the kingdom of God. That's not even in my notes. You guys are doing all right. You're pulling this out of me. All right? You know, we don't judge that, but we have to declare the truth nonetheless. Okay? So some people say, well, Jesus didn't really talk about that. Well, Jesus talked about morality a lot. And sexual morality for that matter. He said, you only have to look at a woman. And what is killing our society and the lives of a lot of people today is looking. Which is what pornography has done. You know, it's infiltrated church. I speak to a lot of pastors around the places and other leaders around the churches. And it's an epidemic. It's something that needs to be dealt with. All right. There you go. That's what happens when I just share with my heart to you. Because I love you, because I care about you, because I want to be a good steward of what we have. And when it comes to finances, we are really good stewards. You can check all the books if you want to. And we've got a few things we want to do this year. We're looking to increase the membership of Church One Limited as well at some point in time, and we will update you on that. But also, we really want to start thinking about, you know, what is God's future plan for us regarding a building and all that stuff. I just don't want to just lease another building for the sake of having a bigger place, because you'll be in the same place. You know that we lease about $100,000 a year here. This is what it costs all of you to have church. $100,000 a year to have ministries. You might say, well, you know, why don't we just meet at a hall? The problem with that is that the ministry suffers when you don't have a place that you can call home, even if you're renting, at least if it's home. It's important. We get people that walk in and they see this as a place, as a monument for God's house. It's very important. So I'd really like to, you know, explore the idea this year of what we as a church family can do in order to move to the next phase and really, really be honest, take a really long, hard look about ourselves. What do we do? Because we have to do this together. And my wife and I have already made up our mind as to what we're going to do with that ourselves personally. And so we're gonna need a miracle to be able to be involved in that fundraising project, at least. So we need to, I guess, instead of paying $100,000 here, wouldn't it be better if we owned something that money goes into the property that we all own? How many of you think that's a good idea? Absolutely. So, and I think we can do something quite achievable for everybody over a course of time. And probably around March, we'll talk more about this, and I'll launch that to you guys. And I don't know, maybe we'll have a special meeting after church or something like that. And because I really do believe we need to get serious about this. You know, we need to get serious about this. Amen? Amen. Good stuff. What's that? The open day. Yes. Today is open day. Not that other days are closed. What it is, we have the different ministries in our church. And what you can do, you put your name on a piece of paper there if you want to volunteer in any of those areas. The kids' church, the next generation ministries, the kids' church, the young adults and the youth, the men's ministry are there, the women's ministry are there, the missions are there, the wise ones, the young families are going to be standing there. We need helpers. We need volunteers. The ushers. You have a table for the ushers? Yes, we need more ushers. It's only once a month or once every 4 weeks. Depends on which one you prefer. You have to think about that one. All right. Okay. We need helpers, more helpers. And obviously, if you want to help in the youth or the children, we have to take you through our child safety policy and procedures with that. So it's not that easy to just be a helper if you're an adult. But we have to take you through that. So, but nonetheless, we are open for you guys to help out in any way that you can. Amen. It's a bit of a different Sunday today, folks. You know, and it's just one of those things. As your pastor, I've got to really just make things clear in some areas. But pray, please, for our church planting initiative this year. I'm really excited for the new system that God has put in my heart regarding that. And we'll release that to you in due course as well. Amen. How many of you have needs this year that you're believing for breakthrough? If that's you, stand up to your feet. I'm going to pray for you. You need a breakthrough. You need a miraculous breakthrough in a particular area of your life. All right. And the Lord just put this in my heart as you stood up this morning. And the Lord said, would you be willing for God to change your mind? You get that? Would you be willing for the Lord to show you His truth about your miracle? Because when you capture that, He'll reveal something to you about that. He will reveal one or two things. He will reveal that the track you're going on is not where he wants you to go. And that you need to believe for a different miracle. Or that he will reveal to you that that is exactly where he wants you to be. And when he does that, he will surely provide for you according to your faith. And I think that's incredibly important, because nothing happens on the earth, as far as the will of God is concerned, unless it is something that heaven has approved. And so what I'm seeking the Lord for you today is for you to get the approval of heaven for your miracle. You get that, you've got 100% guarantee that it will surely come to pass. Amen. Lift your hands to heaven right now. There's an anointing of the Holy Spirit here right now. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for the spirit of revelation. And right now, Lord, reveal your will and your truth in that circumstance. That you would show the pathway, Lord God. And even, Lord God, in situations where it seems impossible, you will show them the pathway towards your possibilities. Because I know, Lord, that if it is endorsed by heaven, nothing can stop your will when we're available. So right now, receive in the name of Jesus. Oh, there's an anointing here today. Just receive that in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen.
You have just listened to a message preached at Church One on the Gold Coast. To find out more about Church One, visit us on the web at churchone.com.au. And be sure to subscribe to these podcasts so you don't miss out on any new messages as they are available.